You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Yolanda Leyva with the History Department, Gustavo Del Hierro, Angelica Martinez, and Carlos Varela, and they are all graduate students, and they're here to talk about an upcoming exhibit that's going to be taking place at the Centennial Museum. But first of all, I'd like to take the time to welcome you all to the station. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Louis, for inviting us.
And Dr. Leyva, your students are always involved in putting together some type of oral history project or some type of exhibit. And this time, the exhibit is going to be focused at the Centennial Museum. So tell us a little bit about that and how that came about.
Sure. So we're very pleased to be able to work with the Centennial Museum, with Maribel Villalba and Scott Cutler, to put together this exhibit that's part of the Centennial Celebration of UTEP. And our exhibit is going to focus specifically on the Chicano movement of the 70s, because we think that that movement is part of a history that is little known here on campus and also in El Paso, and it's a very important history. From our point of view, after having researched it for over a year, we see that that movement really shaped what UTEP is today.
As I mentioned, with us are three graduate students, and you all are young. Let's start with you, Carlos. Tell us what you learned or what you knew about the Chicano movement, perhaps from your ancestors, or was this brand new to you when you came to UTEP?
Well, I'm a first-generation Mexican-American, so initially I knew very little about the Chicano movement, especially since majority of my family didn't go to school, wasn't able to attend college or the university. So in reading and learning about Chicano history, not only at UTEP but at EPCC, it sort of highlighted the struggles that our community has faced, and not only the struggles, but the activism that they've become involved in to sort of elevate themselves from these struggles.
Right. So Rubén Salazar is very well known as one of the first Latino journalists that's known nationally. At the time of his death, he was doing investigative reporting about police abuse in the Mexican-American community. He went to UTEP, so he's one of ours. And very important man, and cut down really just as he was rising to prominence working for the Los Angeles Times. So even those kinds of stories aren't well known, are not taught in the high schools, are taught at the college level, thank heavens. But that's why we thought it was so important to talk about the Chicano movement here, so that people could understand really specifically how UTEP was shaped by the Chicano movement, by the dreams and the visions of the students, what they wanted for their university, what they wanted for their community and their families.
Angelina, tell us what you learned, and did you find there were stereotypes perhaps about, like, the Chicano movement, oh, it's just a radical bunch of people trying to raise trouble, or did you come in with an open mind about it?
Well, of course I came in with an open mind about it, but I did learn that there were very stereotypical aspects of the radicalism, and we frequently forget how important the students and the youth were within the Chicano movement. And that's one thing I really learned in researching the Chicano movement, both on a national level and on a local level, was that the youth and the student involvement generally fueled the movement. And through the exhibit, we're able to show how important the students at UTEP were to changing the demographics.
Now, Gustavo is with us as well, Gustavo Del Hierro. And Gustavo, you mentioned that you had been working on a paper, as your classmates had as well. Tell us a little bit about that research paper, and did you find anything new contrary to what your classmates and your professor has said?
Well, the interesting part of that research paper is that it was actually something that came about because of Dr. Leyva's suggestion, that it was an aspect that was little known about in UTEP's history. So she was interested in if any of the students wanted to do research on that. And Angelina and another student, as well as myself, we really didn't know a lot about it. And I think that's what interested us. So my research paper focused on, there was a demonstration here at UTEP on December the 3rd, 1971, where Chicano activists took over the administration building. And that really was the focal point of my research. I wanted to know what happened on campus that it got to that point where the students felt so compelled that they had to take an act like that, because that is, it's very important to understand that these things don't just happen. It may seem spontaneous, but there is a lot behind what goes into these actions. So for me, it was really looking at, you know, the development of the movement at UTEP and how groups like Mecha, you know, really started to spearhead the movement to get the university to acknowledge its Chicano population and that they really were an underserved part of the student population.
Again, as you mentioned, there has to come a boiling point. And so something had to happen. And what did you find out? What happened? Why did they take hold of the administration building?
Well, it all really starts, you can say, around the time Mecha gets on campus. And they started doing things like, you know, circulating petitions to get things like the Chicano Studies Program, the Chicano Affairs Program. And a lot of the frustration really comes about when they feel that these programs are not being implemented. They feel like maybe the administration and the Board of Regents started dragging their feet and had made promises that they weren't willing to fulfill. And I really think it stems from that frustration. And there's even a quote from a UTEP professor at the time who talks about student activism. And he says, you know, we are the ones who, in essence, create these problems because we urge for patience, and that patience almost seems like, you know, they're dragging their feet and they're not willing to create the necessary changes. And I think really this is a response from the Chicano activists that, you know, they couldn't take tomorrow as another answer. It had to come about now.
And what did you find out as far as the solution?
Well, ultimately, one of the people that they felt was hindering the progress of Chicanos on campus was Vice President of Student Affairs, Dr. Gary Brooks. And really, his selection was a point of contention because they felt that the program and the community, the university as a whole, wasn't consulted in his appointment to that position. And when he comes to be appointed to his position, there really was a lot of friction between the group. And things just really started to come to a head, if you will, after his appointment. And that really is like the spark. Like everything had been simmering. And then they just started to feel like the Board of Regents, the administration, the university president, that they just weren't interested in addressing the needs for Chicanos.
Dr. Leyva, some people have said that in the 1960s and after the assassination of President Kennedy and after Haight-Ashbury, that's when America lost its innocence and that they'd had enough. And that's when, of course, civil rights bill was signed. But even though African Americans were now given the right to vote, there were still a lot of animosity towards them. And then also we started seeing that animosity towards Native Americans, towards Hispanics. And then if you go back in history, Italians and Irish Americans and every immigrant who has come into the United States has had to face some kind of problem.
That's true that every wave of immigration confronts segregation, confronts discrimination, confronts stereotypes. What sets Mexican Americans apart from other immigrant groups is that the first Mexicans incorporated into the United States were not incorporated as immigrants, but were incorporated through an act of war. So the U.S.-Mexico War of 1846 to 47 brought in somewhere between 60,000 and 100,000 Mexicans. And it was the race relations that developed out of that generation that laid the foundation for immigrants who would come later in the 1880s up to now.
And what about, and we're talking about prior to 1836, before Texas got its independence, a lot of the people who were Tejanos were American Anglos, but they were part of Mexico. So you could have called them Mexicans as well.
Right. The very early groups of Americans that came into Texas while Texas was part of Mexico, came in with the understanding that they would become Mexican citizens, that they would pledge loyalty to Mexico, that they would become assimilated, speak Spanish, have social relations with Mexican Texans, would become Catholics. So the very early groups did, in many ways, try to fulfill those obligations. The vast majority of Americans that came in didn't. They built their settlements far away from Mexican Texan settlements. Most of them were Southerners coming in with a very particular racial view so that darker people were seen as inferior. And they brought slavery into Texas. Slavery had already been abolished by Mexico.
And yet a lot of those Texans or Tejanos did mix in with the other Tejanos, the other Mexicans or Mexicanos as they were called. And as a result, that's why you see a lot of Mexican people who have Anglo last names, and a lot of those people, including Mr. Houston, and Mr. Austin spoke Spanish quite well.
Mm-hmm, that's true. They're part of that early group. And there's a lot of intermarriage in that time period between Anglo-American businessmen and wealthy Mexican women. It's part of the connection to make political, social, economic networks happen for the new immigrants, the Americans.
For people who go see this exhibit, which starts next week, what can they expect to see? What kind of displays are going to be there?
So we use a lot of historic photographs, a lot of historic documents. The class has done an amazing job at uncovering photographs that haven't been seen since that time period. And I would like them to talk a little bit about the photographs because the work is theirs.
I think an interesting thing about the exhibit, too, is since it's a centennial, they've been highlighting a lot of the history UTEP has had. And I think this exhibit will be a little bit different since it's going to show both good and bad about UTEP just because its history is never one-sided. And in showing that, I think it sort of brings the community closer together and accepts that there are improvements to be made. And I think that's what's most interesting about this exhibit.
And one main objective of ours for the exhibit is for students to take away that change can happen, that just because you're in certain positions, especially in huge bureaucratic situations, that you have an opportunity to change it and you can change and demand better for yourself.
I'm glad you mentioned that because one of the things that Alfredo Corchado mentions in his book, Midnight in Mexico, when he writes a short tribute to his father and the fact that his father came to this country because of the Bracero program. And the Bracero program was a result of the World War II, and everybody had gone to war. The women had gone to the factories, and they needed somebody to work out in the fields. And CBS even did a documentary called Harvest of Shame by Edward R. Murrow. And ironically, they ran it on Thanksgiving Day. And they said, while you're enjoying eating all that food, just think that these immigrant people are the ones who put that food on your table.
Yeah, that was the first time that there was a national focus on farm workers, even though farm workers had been organizing since 1903. And the farm workers movement was certainly something that resonated with university students.
As far as the exhibit itself, you mentioned that it starts next week. Can you give us some details as to what the dates are and, again, where it's going to be at the Centennial Museum?
Well, the exhibit actually opens on Saturday, June 7th, and we're having an open reception open to the public at 2 p.m. that day, and it'll be at the Centennial Museum. It's there on the corner of Wiggins and University.
And it's right across the street from Cotton Memorial, where the Chihuahua Desert Gardens are. And as you walk in the door to your left, right there is where the exhibit is going to be. But if you need additional information, you can call 747-5000. That's the university operator. I want to thank Dr. Yolanda Leyva and Gustavo Liero, Angelina Martinez, and Carlos Varela for taking the time this afternoon to be with us here this morning to talk about the exhibit of the Chicano movement as part of the Centennial celebration here on campus. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.